Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you have been with us throughout the summer, you know I am doing a series on all the series that I've done for the last 3 years or so. I'm taking those individual series that have different parts and just making a one broadcast overview so you can get a feel for it. And if the Lord says, you know what, dive deeper into this, all you have to do is go to my website at markpg.org and scroll down for the series title. The title of today's message, by the way, is going to be He is Our Ultimate Gift, and it was series number 97, done in December of 2023, and it was a five-part series then, but I'm just going to do that overview, as I mentioned today, and give you a feel for how the Lord is indeed our ultimate gift. Oh, what a marvelous portrait of so many we have in scriptures, like the ones we've been covering. He's our abiding love. He's our deeper joy. He's our prayer focus. He is our humble heart. Oh, man, what a joy it is to walk through this with you. So thank you for joining me. And as we sit at the feet of the Lord, and as you make your way over to John 4, where we're going to start today, as we're going to look at 12 takeaways based on this five-part series that we're going to be taking a peek at today. As we go to that passage, let's also just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so grateful for the privilege You have given me all these years just to come and sit at Your feet with my brothers and sisters, just to share the things that You have been sharing with me over the years that I get to put together and try to share with my brothers and sisters the best I can from Your love letters, all the portraits of Yourself that You provide for us. And Lord, today as we look at how You are our ultimate gift, I pray I will cover it well and that You will touch our hearts, that we can rejoice in how much You love us and how many ways You can be whatever we need. So thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. So let's start taking a peek of how the Lord is our ultimate gift. You know, He's truly the gift that keeps on giving, I mean, eternally and in far more ways than we can imagine. So we're going to look at 12 today. And again, if you want to see them unpacked more completely and in detail, then scroll back to 2023, December, for the five-part series that you can find on my website at markpg.org. All right. Well, as we find ourselves in John chapter 4, verse 24, the scripture says this in the upcoming verses. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And the woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming. And there's our key. He who is called Christ. When that one comes, He will declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. So here's number one, if you're a note taker, in a list of 12 ways in which the Lord is our ultimate gift. Number one, He's the gift of the coming Messiah. The gift of the coming Messiah. To give this passage some context, this New Testament era followed 400 years of silence that we call the intertestamental period between the Old Testament era and the New Testament era. And there were not any visitations. There were not any spoken words from God during that time period. And they had been yearning, not just during the intertestamental period, but all throughout the Old Testament era, when the coming Messiah was being foreshadowed in so many ways by the prophets and the appearances of angels and all, so many things. That's why the Old Testament is so valuable. It gives us a foreshadowed picture of the Messiah who was to come. The New Testament gives us a vivid portrait of the Messiah who has come. That's why Jesus would be saying to them, I am he. I who speak to you am he. I am the coming Messiah. Wow. That is so powerful. A lot to say about it, but you have to go to the series to get it. But that's the first. Actually, we're having 12 more portraits in addition to how he is our ultimate gift as we talk about these gifts. So number two, he's the gift or portrait of the heavenly child. The gift or the portrait of the heavenly child. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and we're actually going to get the next five of these gifts or portraits of God from this one chapter. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, talking about the foreshadowing of the Messiah who was to come, here's how he put it. Verse 6, for a child will be born to us. So that's what we're going to be talking about first, how he's the gift of the heavenly child, a marvelous portrait. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. All right, so these are the next five of the 12 we're going to be covering today as we look at the Lord as our ultimate gift. Number one, the gift of the coming Messiah. Number two, the gift of the heavenly child. You know, throughout the scriptures, we have how the child to be born was prophesied. This is an example here in Isaiah, you know, the virgin birth, how he was going to be the God-man, the unique God-man, only creation in the history of the world when God became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's that mystery of the Trinity and the Godhead and its manifestation to different points in history. This is a whole wonderful study and reminder of the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And it's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. That would be polytheism, three gods instead of one. No, it's still monotheism. And the math is not 1 + 1 + 1, but 1 × 1 × 1, and you still get 1. The other common analogy we try to use to get us close is thinking about H2O. If I asked you what that was, some would say, whoa, that's water. And I'd say, yep. Others would say, well, wait a minute, that's also ice in solid form, right? It's still H2O. Yep, you're right too. Somebody else would say, well, no, it's steam. It's H2O, it's water in gaseous form. That's right. They're different manifestations, but the same substance. So the Lord is three in one substance, all equal, all one, God the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus the Son. He's the gift of the heavenly child, the God-man, born of a virgin, the Father, the heavenly Father, actually fathered him with a human mother, hence the God-man. And he had a stepdad, when you stop and think about it, when Joseph was the one who reared him in that carpenter shop in the early years. Oh, it's just marvelous. I love that. Wow. So, he's the gift of the coming Messiah. He's the gift of the heavenly child. He's the gift, number three, of the Wonderful Counselor. We saw it there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The Wonderful Counselor. Do you know that the Lord is constantly whispering to us? He loves to speak to us, and he typically speaks in a still, small voice, reminiscent of Elijah in the cave when he was in despair and utterly frightened with the death threat that came upon his life, and hiding out in that cave in 1 Kings 19 after great victories in 1 Kings 18 over the prophets of Baal. He still got that death threat, was so frightened, he ran off to the mountains into a cave. And when God said in a gentle whisper, what are you doing here, Elijah? He just vented his heart. Lord, oh, I alone and left in all of Israel, and they're after me. They seek my life to take it away. And he was at the point of saying, I am done. Take me home. And the Lord let him vent for a while, a few times. But then he kept calling to him in this still, small voice, this whisper. And he came to the point after letting him vent, after encouraging him, feeding him. He said, all right, now it's time to get up. It's time to go out. For you're not the only one left in Israel. There are 7,000 left in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. But I will send someone to walk with you. His name shall be Elisha. And one day you will pass your mantle on to him. And he got up and he left the cave, following the whispers of God, to the next place that God called him to. God's always whispering to us, my friends. John chapter 1 talks about how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But another English translation of the Greek word logos, which is typically translated into word, but it can be translated into conversation. In the beginning was the conversation. The conversation was with God. The conversation was God. And the conversation became flesh and dwelt among us. He's always in conversation with us. Just tune into his frequency, my friend, like we use radios to tune into certain frequencies to hear different stations. Turn into his frequency and hear his whispers, his conversation to you. He is our wonderful counselor. Well, here's number 4. The Lord, our ultimate gift, is not only the coming Messiah, the heavenly child, and the wonderful counselor, but number 4, he's the gift of our mighty God. I love that adage, our problems only get too big when our God has become too small. Our concept of God, our perception of God and his ways, does he love us or not? Is he taking care of us or not? Why is he letting this happen? I don't understand. And we can just get such a small and even a bitter view of God that we lose our sense of wonder and awe of the God who created the universe. Wow. He is the gift of our mighty God. No matter how deep your valley, he is deeper still, my friend. Don't lose hope. Don't shift your focus away from our mighty God and fix your gaze on your mighty problems. They only get too big when your God, your concept of God, has gotten too small. Wow. I love that. Well, Isaiah 9 also tells us that the ultimate gift, the Lord, well, he's our gift of our eternal Father. Also in Isaiah chapter 9. You know, Hallmark sent out cards, I read this one time years ago, on Mother's Day to see how well they would be received in prisons. And they sent free cards to the prisons, and the prisoners snatched them up and sent the Mother's Day cards to their moms. And so they said, hey, let's do it for Father's Day next month. And they sent a bunch of Father's Day cards, but very, very few were picked up. What in the world was going on? Well, we're talking about father wounds. Father wounds can impact so deeply and so many. And sometimes this Abba Father metaphor from the scriptures, this eternal Father metaphor, doesn't quite resonate because people tend to associate the eternal Father with their earthly father. Oh, my friend, guard your heart from that. Our eternal Father loves us more than we can possibly imagine. You're the apple of his eye, even when you mess up, especially when you mess up. He is there for you. Oh, I go into a lot here in the series. Why, it's a 5-part series, by the way. So again, check out markpg.org to go deeper. Well, now we come to number 6. The Lord, our ultimate gift, is the gift of our Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Again, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, he's referred to as that. And I think about, you know, the classic children's stories, you know, the Prince Charming and Cinderella. But the thing about that particular story is the prince does indeed go and search for the lovely and the gracious and the kind and the loving Cinderella. and finds her, as we know in the fairy tale. But the reality is that we're not Cinderella to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the evil stepsisters, sinful, selfish. And yet the Lord still offers to marry us and say, I can transform you. I will transform you if you enter covenant with me, if you marry me. He's the Prince of Peace, the only one who can bring peace in the depths of our heart, even as sinners, even though we've made great mistakes, even though we've made a mess of our lives. He gives you the do-over once you marry him and become a new creation in him, bringing a peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, powerful. But you know, the Lord, our ultimate gift, is also the gift of Jesus, the Son. This is number 7 if you're the note taker. The gift of Jesus, the Son. Now I'll take you over to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to get a couple of takeaways from this particular chapter and verses. And so let's look at Luke chapter 1, and pick it up in verse 30, where the angel says this: The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call him Jesus, and he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. That's what we're going to focus in on here. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Wow, the reigning king. We're going to talk about that one. Then verse 49, For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation, those who fear him. Oh man, so much to talk about here. So let's pick it up. And again, number 7, he's the gift of Jesus, the Son. Jesus, it means Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. You know, we are in desperate need of salvation. Our sins have doomed us for eternal separation from God. And there is no other name under heaven or on earth whereby men may be saved according to Scripture. Jesus, Yahweh saves. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So that's why without the Son, you don't get to the Father. That's so powerful. He is the gift of Jesus, the Son. And we also saw in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, that he's the gift of our reigning king, our reigning king. Now, this caused a lot of confusion at the time, because the prophecies were well known by the children of Israel for centuries and centuries. You know, oral traditions passed down, and some written scriptures were passed down, and they would talk about the Messiah who was to come, the king, the reigning king who would come. And that's what they were expecting. That's what they were looking for. And you know, when you're living in an era, and in this case, the New Testament era, where the almighty Roman Empire was occupying vast swathes of the known earth at the time, and it included Judea and most of the Bible lands, all the Bible lands. It was an occupied nation. That's the context that the gospel was given. That is the context that the Lord Jesus came to establish his kingdom. But what they were thinking was that when the Messiah would come to be the reigning king, that he would overthrow Rome and that he would establish an earthly kingdom and save them from the occupation and be their ruler and bring order to the world. Well, not at the first coming. Now, that's going to be so in the second coming, but in this first coming, it starts off with him establishing a heavenly kingdom here on earth, and more specifically, in the hearts of his children, or his bride, whatever metaphor you want to go with. This is the phenomenal thing. This is a thing that Nicodemus had to understand when he was watching the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to make heads or tails out of it and going, well, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one? What about the kingdom stuff? He says, you know, it's a kingdom not of this world. It's a kingdom of the invisible world. And it reigns, it can reign in your heart if you become one with me. Oh, my friends, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely receive, now freely give. What is that talking about? It's talking about that the more that we abide and commune in the Lord and receive him as a reigning king in our hearts, and that we listen for his whispers. And when he says to proclaim healing in a situation and pray for it, or to proclaim freedom, or to proclaim joy, or to whatever it is, the Lord is our reigning king, establishing not an earthly kingdom to replace current earthly kingdoms like they were expecting them to do at Rome, with Rome there in Judea, but rather it would make that virtually irrelevant, because in heart and in the invisible world, you were more a citizen of the heavenly kingdom than you were of the occupied human kingdom that you were living in. It's a game changer. Incredible. He is our reigning king. But then we go to Luke 2, where we see the gift of our Lord and Savior. I love this. Luke chapter 2. So the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city David, of the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Is that just cool or what? I love that. This is one of the most famous portions of Scripture. We hear it Christmas time all the time. He is our merciful Savior who comes to rescue downtrodden sheep, like it says in Matthew 9, that he saw the crowds or the multitudes like downcast sheep. That would be a sheep that's upside down on its back and so woolly it can't get on its feet, and it'll die that way unless a merciful Savior comes and flips him back over. But of course, beyond being just a merciful Savior, he goes on to become our gentle teacher as we become his followers like children. Or he becomes our gracious master as we voluntarily become his servant. Or he becomes our loving bridegroom or father as we take on the role of the bride or son or daughter. And beyond just being the Savior and teacher and master and bridegroom, there's a fruitful union. We're one with him. That's the gift of the Lord, our Savior. Now, number 10, as we're winding this down to get to our final one at number 12, number 10 is that he's the gift of our light of salvation. The light of salvation. Now, this is Simeon in Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 29. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. Oh, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The Lord, our ultimate gift, is the gift of our light of salvation. You know, I love that metaphor. You know, sometimes I get asked about childhood conversions. Ours were young, 4, age 5, age 6. Are they really saved? Do they really understand all that there is to know about salvation? My answer to that is, of course not. But even a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old or a 50-year-old doesn't understand everything about salvation when we get saved any more than when we get married on our married days, we really understand what marriage is all about. We learn as we go along. So think of a cloud up above with a little light ray coming down, and it's a narrow ray when we're 6 years old, but it begins to grow wider as we're capable of understanding more. And at 8, it's a little wider. At 12, it's a little wider. At 18, it's a little wider. In our 20s, it's a little wider. And the Lord loves to just expand that progressive ray of light as the light of revelation to us. And we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just love that. Wow. So whether you're going through some painful fog or sinful mud or a stormy night, He's your light of salvation to get you through. Now here's number 11. The Lord, our ultimate gift, is also the gift of the ultimate ruler. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 and then verse 6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east." And then verse 6, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people." The Lord is our ultimate ruler. You know, we have different polity models on earth. Is it pastor-led or pastor-rule? Is it elder-led or elder-rule? Is it congregationally-led or elder or congregation? Well, ultimately, it's Jesus' rule. He's our ultimate ruler, and we are subordinate to that. All those models, by the way, are workable, but those aren't the focal point. Jesus is. And finally, the Lord is the gift of our comforting shepherd. Are you seeing how being our ultimate gift, He is all these different portraits and gifts to us? He's our comforting shepherd, to shepherd His people, because we're downcast, stubborn, wayward, but His sheep know His voice. And He says, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." Do you listen for His whispers or His voice? And do you follow? Or not just to hear His voice, or to follow His voice? Follow those whispers. Well, Lord, thank you for this time together as we've been hearing you whisper all along, as we've been taking a look at how you are our ultimate gift in so many ways. Thank you for that, Lord. May we embrace it and let you embed it in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our ultimate gift.